Lions with it, second and goal from the 8, down 6, but on the move. Chris working from the gun, looks out to the right, now checks out that Viking defense. Takes the snap, back to pass, looks right, got Chase in the end zone, touchdown, Detroit Lions! That's it, pack the bag, start the plane, this game is over! How big is that? And now it's time to start the Detroit Lions podcast.
Lions fans, it's time for the podcast you've been waiting for. The show where Kool-Aid runs blue, faces turn red, and rose-colored glasses never go out of style. This is the Detroit Lions Podcast, your Detroit Lions and Reddit connection. And now, two guys who have never dropped a Matthew Stafford pass, Chris and Case.
Hey, hidey-ho, Lions fans. Welcome to the Detroit Lions Podcast. This is episode 225. This is the official Detroit Lions Podcast for Reddit. I am your dashing host, Chris. And with me is my good friend and co-host, Case. How you doing, brother?
I'm all right, Chris. I was away last week for the week one game, and while I was away from home, I was feeling a deep connection with the Lions wide receivers.
Well, Chargers secondary felt a little bit of a connection with Stafford, but we'll talk about that. We'll talk about that. We got a lot more, too. Lions win over the Chargers, and that's cool. That makes the first thing not so bad. We're going to be talking about tight ends. We're going to take a look ahead to the Eagles. We're going to take you around the division and a whole lot more. We got a great show lined up. Case, you ready to go, my man?
Yeah, I don't really like being away from my cat for that long. I started to get separation anxiety.
Let's kick this off and break it down.
All right, time for a couple of quick announcements. First, check us out and help us out on the Patreon. Special thanks to Dylan from
Gowan.
And of course, our very first donor, Mathis. Also, Brian Burkheiser from I Prevail, the wildest band this side of anything. He's been showing up in our Slack chat. You can still show up there, too. Just go on to patreon.com/Detroit Lions Podcast. As little as $1 a month will get you access to the Slack, a whole bunch of preview information, early info, and great stuff. Patreon.com/Detroit Lions Podcast. Just sign up to donate as little as $1 a month. And I have to say, it's P-A-T-R-E-O-N. Someone yelled at me pretty viciously for not spelling that. It's a weird, funny word. You get all kinds of great stuff. Join the Patreon, folks, and support the show. Give us a like on Facebook, facebook.com/TheDetroitLionsPodcast, facebook.com/TheDetroitLionsPodcast, and check us out on Twitter at DETLionsPodcast, DETLionsPodcast. It's the very best place to see Case.
Drinking beer.
That's right. Passion fruit. He's passing some fruit. Subscribe to us on YouTube, youtube.com/Detroit Lions Podcast, youtube.com/Detroit Lions Podcast. We do a weekly post-game live show. Take your calls at a rowdy, live, raucous show this week. Big Ash came in and helped host the show. He did a great job. Thank you so much, Ash. He will be back again in a couple weeks. We've got Sandman this weekend. Hit the notifications button, subscribe, get all that great stuff. youtube.com/Detroit Lions Podcast. Rate us on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, iHeartRadio, all those cool places. We're not all of them. That's where the cool kids are. That's where we are. I think the cool kids are where we are because we're the cool kids. How's that sound? Yeah, give us those 5-star reviews. We love them. And helps us move up the charts, helps people find us. If you have anything you want to add as far as constructive criticism around the show, hit us up in the subreddit, and we're happy to take your thoughts in consideration. Give us a call via Skype at Detroit Lions Podcast. All one word, Detroit Lions Podcast, or here's the Lions line, 929-33-LIONS, 929-335-4667. Leave us a message and get a chance to hear yourself on the show.
Tighten your chin straps, kids. It's time to review this week in Reddit.
All right, it's time to talk about all the fun and exciting things going down this week in Reddit. And I got to tell you, it's weird this week, Case. And I've got to make a comparison, and you know, I'm not complaining about fans. I'm not going to do that a lot this year. I don't care where you guys are at, but you know, it is what it is. But some people are truly unhelpable or unhappyable. The first week we played great, had a couple of mistakes. We wound up in a tie. People were up in arms and just absolutely angry. This week we played a hard game against a good team. We did just enough to win. We come out with a victory. Still not good enough. People are just as mad. Can you imagine how bad it's going to be if we lose?
Yeah, it would have been a little rough.
I got to tell you, we'll talk about the Eagles coming up, but we got another good shot this week. I'm telling you, when we saw the schedule and we thought about this team, if anybody would have told you we were undefeated after two games, they'd have said, I don't know, man. And these first five games are pretty tough. That's the toughest part of the schedule. And now we're heading into a beat-up Eagles team. We beat the Chargers. We got that tie out of, you know, we expected more in Arizona, but a tie is just fine. I don't know, man. This team looks better. We'll get Riz on soon. He's got a lot of kid stuff going on where he's paying super dad.
I'd like to hear, because wasn't he predicting 5-11? I wonder if he's still on 5-11 right now.
I think he was at 5-10-1.
So, very specific.
Yeah. we'll get him in there. We'll get him in this week. I think Friday we're going to try to do a quick takes with him again. We'll get him talking about that. Don't you folks worry. But this team is in pretty decent shape after two games. And that Chargers game, ugly as it may be, two teams mm-hmm. played bad. The one team still came out on top, and it was us for once. That felt mm-hmm. okay.
Yep, for sure. And, you know, I think Chargers fans would say, you know, they get screwed over, you know, they're one of the teams whose fan base believes that they get screwed over a lot. You know, obviously our fan base being another. So them losing that game, I think, you know, a lot of them would say the, you know, cliche thing like, oh, that's the most Chargers thing ever, you know, like we say about the Lions when something goes wrong. But ultimately, I mean, it wasn't a great game by either side, but there were a lot of good individual performances and there was a lot of stuff to take away from it to like.
There was resiliency. Well. I mean, if you think about a team and how mm-hmm. the team played, right, they mm-hmm. very easily could have done the Lions and given up. Mm-hmm. Right.
And we'll talk about special teams later. But I mean, obviously, I don't think we're going to expect Matt Prater to miss extra points and or field goals very often. So, like, that's the thing. They also missed two kicks. So
was that payback for last year's fortuitous? I saw you say that.
Well,
that's
what I said in Black, was that it was karma for, you know, all the. And then, of course, they missed two. So we're still net negative on karma in the field goal department. But
we made it up in other places. So
things like not having to chase around a you know, I don't remember how old Kyler Murray is, 21, 20. Night at 22, I don't know, something like that.
And not having I still was
a guy like that around the backfield all day helped our defensive line stay steady through the whole game. They weren't perfect by any means, but they were steady. They got a few sacks. They created a fair amount of pressure. We'll talk about Darius Slay later, so we won't get into that now. That was that was an up and down day. Melvin Gordon had a solid day against, you know, whoever he was covering, and the secondary in general had a solid day. Tracy Walker again making a few plays.
Justin Coleman out there.
Jelani, thank you. Javai, he had a monster game. He is quickly becoming, you know, one of the favorites, despite, you know, coming in with a little bit of a, it's funny that we drafted, you know, the first two guys we drafted and they had Hawk and him, and how much hatred that they got from various, you know, areas of the fan base.
It took a little bit to digest though. I mean, yeah. You got a guy and with a nickname like out. You got a guy with a nickname like High C. Or no,
yeah.
It was Hawaiian Punch. That was the same shit, right? Our Hawaiian Lion, right? He came out. He was one that people were going to watch. People were waiting to just chew this ownership, this GM up this over.
Exactly. And this is him starting as a rookie, like where in a role that he wasn't expected to play right away. This will beg the question, what exactly do they do when Jared Davis does come back, and where do they put guys and what roles do they put guys in? But the bottom line is that it immediately means as long as the play he's been putting on the field is who he is, then our depth at linebacker is much better than we realized.
Well, I think what happens when Jared Davis comes back, I'm going to talk about this a little bit. If you can, we do it now. Do you want to do it now?
Yeah, go for it.
People, one of the big criticisms, even this game against a standstill quarterback like Phil Rivers, was that pressure. We weren't getting pressure against mm-hmm. Kyler Murray. I saw the team. It was more about contain. Right, that guy was running all over the place. They knew it. We wanted to contain him and not let him run crazy. So we weren't putting a lot of pressure on, right? We weren't going to run past him. This game, though, we expected to see something. And something we talked about this offensive line or defensive line, we have a bunch of guys who are known for making other people look good, right? Because they take up a double or they do all these things. We have guys that aren't huge sack total guys that are playing the line. And we thought one of them would break three. But let me just give a look forward for some people, because it's something there's a lot of panic about this. And I have a theory about how it's going to change and why it's going to change. And the two things that are going to make a change are Deshaun Hand and Jared Davis. Those are the guys, and it was a dual-fecta, right? It's kind of like a trifecta, but it's only two. a dufecta. those two guys, I think, are really what we were relying on as far as the pass rush components and to really get the pressure. The rest of those guys are going to tie up the line like crazy. And when we get
Devin Kennard is being the guy right now that's being the beneficiary in a big way.
Yep.
But you need a few more guys to be the beneficiary, and I do agree that both of those additions will increase the number of,
and those are the sack guys
beneficiary situations we have.
So, those are the guys with the sack numbers, and so something I've kind of put together.
And I even think Davis coming back will turn Tavai into one of those guys. Right now, his responsibilities are covering the entire field, but once Davis is back, you could put him in a bit more of a rush situation.
Sure. And he's got a couple, but you're looking at Davis and you're looking at Deshaun Hand, and those are the guys that were the sack numbers guys. Those are the guys that were getting the real pressure and getting a hold of the quarterback. How many plays, especially early last year, did we see Jared Davis go through like a missile, almost like he was shot out of Louis Delmas, right? And he flew past and he almost had the play in the backfield, right? And as the season wore on, he got out of that I'm going to blast pass him mode and started getting those sacks. He's a guy that I was really excited about this year, picking up where he left off and being that sack guy. So again, Deshaun Hand, the disruptive shit he used to do in the backfield. I think these two guys are going to change the way that Lions defensive line looks, the way it operates, the way we get pressure, and it's going to help people. It's going to help our secondary, but it's going to help. That's what's going to really elevate this defense. So I think they're looking good as it is. And if you think about those two guys, those are key pieces missing of this defensive scheme.
I agree.
All right. So we got that. Let's talk about the game a little bit. I know we talked about it in the post-game show, but we didn't get Case to talk about it a whole lot. What do you think about the offensive line? This is a weird concept that we're seeing here with these guys.
Yeah.
I don't want to get too much into the scheme because I think we'll talk about that in a little bit, but I'm used to rotating defensive guys. I'm not used to rotating offensive guys. What in the heck am I seeing here?
Well, I certainly thought they held up well in pass protection. Crosby did an admirable job filling in. I know, and of course,
against Bosa. Bosa. He killed it, I think.
Now, here's what I will say. I think as soon as Decker comes back, he's relegated again. Although, and of course, there's many Lions fans, that are really down on Decker right now after a rough, first game. I don't know that I don't want to say for sure that his game one was affected by injury or anything like that. But I mean, hey, we were talking in the Slack and Wisco Boiler said he was, trying to talk people out of buying into the outlier. And I said, good Padawan.
Good.
It's like, 'cause that's my thing. But, Decker hasn't.
It's actually a Star Wars thing, just so you know.
Oh, really? Okay, thanks.
so this one, Spock talks to the droids.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense. I mean, I know, and I don't think anybody is trying to say that Decker's been like an elite left tackle or anything like that, but he's been average through his career, and so we saw week one in a rough game. I don't think that's the norm for him. Mm. I know that, if Crosby truly is, an improvement, I think the team will figure that out at some point and make the adjustment. I'm just not really ready to buy into that yet, but it is nice to know that Crosby can step in and have a good game.
I'm going to, and he's your right guard backup as well in Crosby, but I want to tell you something. The comment about Decker being average, I am going to challenge that. And I'll agree that he hasn't been a standout, but if you look at O-linemen in the NFL today and how they're getting destroyed by the athleticism of the defensive players, he's above average, right? I believe he's been an above average left tackle in the time. And also, don't
had a rough week. Yeah, have you ever had a rough week at work where you didn't perform up to your normal standard?
Never.
I sure have.
Nope. No. And then the other thing is do you really want to get down on the guy who has zero drops in his career and a touchdown on every reception? You tell me if that's a guy you want to cut.
He does have 100% catch rate.
Yeah.
Which,
four touchdowns. Four touchdowns. Yeah. So let's just think about that. No, I think Deckers is a lot better than people are giving him shit for. They're hard on him now. And you know, especially after you see him miss a game hurt, you don't know how much of that played into what was going on in that first game either. He was playing against some pretty tough customers on the Arizona line. And that's what we talk about with Crosby, how well he showed against Bosa and this game. I feel like, look, again, you don't want to get too high on Crosby. We look in training camp, right? He was like, everyone was way low on Crosby. I'm sure he's somewhere in the middle over the long haul, but what you got was exactly what you want out of a guy that's backing up your player. He looked great there, and he also gives you good backup in the right guard position. And you got other guys rotating in and out too. You're not looking absolutely terrible on this offensive line. And we'll see if this becomes something for the future.
I'm concerned about their run blocking.
Sure.
Because 3.4 for Kerryon Johnson, when he's making moves on every single play, creating extra yards, getting back to the line of scrimmage at times when he should have been tackled behind it, he's doing his job. He should have a better average than 3.4 yards. And I think that is offensive line related.
Okay. We'll talk more about that. We'll see. Couple of dings on Kerryon again early, so we'll see how his longevity is this season. The other piece about the offensive line that I like is the idea that with these guys getting some time like this, and the way we've built this and the way they're kind of rotating them, is you're giving guys both experience in this thing and work and experience working together, so that if something happens down the line, it's not the first time side by side lining up next to each other in game 8 or 10 of the season. Right. Mm-hmm. And so this gives you some longevity in case of injury. This gives you some resiliency and true depth rather than putting in a completely unknown quantity. So good stuff going on there. Let's talk about one specific aspect of special teams. There's this guy. I don't know if you've heard of him. His name's Jamal Agnew. He was on the field and then he wasn't. And he wasn't because and I don't want to dog the guy, right? Because he's been electric. He's been fun to watch. He's been a guy you're really cheering for.
I wanted to see him return. Yeah.
He just looked lost. He could not make a cut. He couldn't pick a hole. He couldn't hold on to the ball. He just seemed completely lost out there.
Yeah. I don't think there's a single Lions fan out there who has any like intrinsic hatred towards Agnew, but it has. I made the comparison to Stephon Logan. Yeah, I made the comparison to Stephon Logan, and I think it was probably apt. Like a dude who can be electric, but is just so wildly inconsistent, can't hang on to the ball. I don't know that there's possibly a way that you can justify to keep going. And if you remember Stephon Logan, we pushed through most of the season, or maybe I don't even remember. It's been a while now, maybe the whole season before moving on from him. And I would hope that this coaching staff is not like that, and that they will take, you know, more immediate action about it. And once again, it's not because we dislike Agnew. It's just that he hasn't shown enough elsewhere on the field at this point. And since he came back from the injury, and you know, we all hope that he'd continue his development on defense and still be, you know, a guy that we could use occasionally on offense. There were a lot of things that we all wanted to see out of him, but he just can't. If he can't do the one thing that we really need him to do, I'm not sure there's a role.
Yeah,
and it sucks, but.
Yeah, it is what it is. So Jamal Agnew is a tough one out there. So, and it's something we're going to have to think about, something we're going to have to deal with. And I thought he'd be gone this week. I thought he would be gone and we would be moving on. Danny Amendola, sure-handed. He's not going to I don't know
that Danny wants that job.
No, not at his age. and I don't think that, and because of that reason, I don't think he's going to be the guy that's going to break you multiple, you know, take, you know, to go into the house with the ball. I think he's going to be a guy that is going to be safe, though. He's not going to drop the ball. He's going to get it 5-10 yards and be done with it, and that's that. But you're right. Do we want to risk Danny that way? Because he has a different dynamic in the offense that we'll talk about in a little bit. So Jamal Agnew is still standing, and I can't believe it, because that is a move that I'd expect to Bob Quinn to very quickly, and Coach Patricia to quickly say, nope, this is no good. We need to move on, because it's been expensive to have him on the field. All right, let's talk about something else. We love to do the putting him on blast thing. We had a call from Floundericious. He's one of our Patreon people. And he's got an interesting point here, Case. I want you to take a listen and let me know what you think.
Hey, Chris, Case, the Riz, and all you other folks. Floundericious Law here from the Slack. I wanted to call in and just offer up a couple thoughts. I wasn't able to watch this game as closely as the previous week, but I had a couple thoughts to share. A couple of the things on the top of my mind are, isn't it interesting that Las Vegas can predict these things so closely? You know, here they picked the game to basically be a very close one, a very low-scoring affair. All of the pregame predictions said it's going to be low-scoring. It runs contrary to having Phillip Rivers and Matthew Stafford leading two offenses on the field. It's almost like they called it as a game where it wasn't so much someone was going to win as so much as someone was going to lose. And I think that's what you saw play out. Having watched that through it, it was incredible to me how many drives for both teams got sculpted and changed by, you know, a rash of penalties. How many of those drives did we see where it seemed like the team on offense or on defense racked up an unbelievable number of penalties and unforced errors, which derailed their drive or created an opportunity for the other team? Just a very weird one where it was sort of a lot of fits and starts and failures to get going. But then when they did get going, you could see the quality of, you know, some of the players like, you know, Rivers, Stafford, Eckler, Kerryon Johnson, Kenny Golladay. When they could make it connect, kaboom, it was big. And it was aggressive and impressive. So just overall, really interesting little view into that kind of some games are just tight, and whoever leaves the fewest points on the field ends up winning. Anyways, I will always take an ugly win over a partially beautiful, crappy tie or an even worse loss.
100% of the time.
Let's go Lions.
All right. Thank you, man. You know, and so a couple things. One, I'll just very briefly go on the thing that Vegas got it right. Vegas makes money, right? They know what they're doing. I don't know how they did that. I have a different point about that, and it's an interesting one. We can maybe touch on that if we get some time. But I think the pivotal drive in this game was actually shaped by flags, whether you want to call it sloppy play or whatever else. It was the drive that ended up with Jelani Tavai, the Hawaiian Lion, punching that ball out on the 1-inch line. Absolutely changed the face of the game, and I think it was 100% the reason we won that. They had two touchdowns, was it, in that? I mean, first they threw a screen, and then they
touchdown. Oh, no, I know what you mean. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, they did a screen, then a run, and they were like on our 30. And then they threw a touchdown, got a call back, and I thought they had another touchdown. I could be wrong. I could be over-exaggerating here. I'm working from memory. But they moved the ball a bunch of times in scoring range for sure. And they got a call back because of flags. I've seen that happen to the Lions a bunch of times. Not really used to having that happen to the other team, but wow, that was a pivotal. That was a lot of time off the clock, and it was a lot of plays. It was a long drive. Had they scored, I think that would have changed the outcome for sure.
Yep, for sure, I agree. No, and there were a lot of flags, and I do think that's I talk every year about how week one is the weirdest week, and you know you're going to see strange stuff, but I mean, week two is probably the second weirdest week. You know, it diminishes as time goes on, and then picks up again at the very end of the season. But I mean, things are still sloppy. I mean,
dude, I got my stool pushed in and pick 'em because of the first week. I know it's fool's gold. I know it's not real, and I let it influence my picks. And I got so many wrong. Oh God. God, it was a bloodbath. It's horrible. Who listens to week one?
Yeah.
All right. Can I bring up another topic? Actually, I gotta do something first. But it is a little bit on the Vegas thing, and I was talking to somebody about this, and it came up, and I was like, "This is really interesting." But first, I gotta tell you, if you're gonna get any kind of Lions gear, and boy, it's the time to get it. Get your Tavai jersey or your Hockenson jersey. You want to head over to fanatics.detroitlionspodcast.com. Why would I do that? Well, because you get access to not only Lions stuff, but all the NFL pro teams. But who cares about anyone with the Lions? As well as all the other sports, MLB, NHL, it's all the official licensed great killer gear and merchandise. They got signed stuff. They got the great display cases like you see back there, balls, all kinds of cool stuff. All you do, go to fanatics.detroitlionspodcast.com. Nothing changes about pricing or anything else. All that happens is they give us a little kickback for your sale because we get a little cookie on there saying we sent you there. Great way to help us out. You're going to go there anyway. You want to show off your Lions pride. You want to get all your great team stuff, college, whatever. Fanatics.DetroitLionsPodcast.com, and you can help us out and get the great, great gear for yourself. Okay, I want to talk about this thing because the Vegas thing came up, and this is off script, so I'm sorry, Case. We didn't have this as one of our bullet points.
That's okay.
The whole thing with Antonio Brown, I want to just revisit that a little bit that we talked about. He's got another accuser, all this other stuff, right? And isn't proven guilty in the whole thing. But here's an angle that I had never thought of before, and I want to roll it past you, okay? And we say, right? He's a complete piece of shit. If he did it, he should never play again. What a jerk. We don't know if he did or not,
even if
right?
He didn't do it. He's still a complete piece of shit.
For different reasons, though, right? But here's the thing. A lot of people are asking, why hasn't he been kicked out already? Right? Why wasn't he pulled? Why did he get to play for the Patriots? What the heck is going on here? Yeah. Think about this, okay? And I'm going to just pick a guy and because it's an extreme example, right? But so the Lions and the Patriots are in the Super Bowl. The Patriots are the obvious, you know, potential winner. I'm in Vegas, right? Maybe I'm a bookie, right? And I'm going to make a bunch of money in this game. I'm going to say I'm pushing everyone to the Patriots because I've got this thing up my sleeve. I got this girl. I'm going to pay her $50,000, whatever. I'm going to get her to put a complaint in that Tom Brady raped me or did something to me. And immediately, if the league immediately responds to these guys, to these allegations, right, without any due process or anything else, you could actually change the game. Right. You could actually, and you can't tell me, right? We think about Floundericious came up with a call about, you know, Vegas called this. It's what people often are like. It's the gambling that's doing this. It's so much so influential. People are worried about that. If you create a situation where you can actually influence a game like that, the person who is the accuser, it doesn't matter, right? What the accusation was, it's just something that gets somebody out of, you know, kicked out of a game. That person, oh yeah, oh that's wrong, oh well, but they walk away with a pocket full of change. People forget about it in 6 months. You know what I mean? It creates a door to absolutely wreck the game. And I'm not saying like again, I'm not saying anything negative about the players, but there's a reason for this due process. And I think this is some, I had never thought of that before as to how people could really screw with the game and the gambling lines. And when you put money in, obviously that gets people doing, you know, motivated to do nefarious things. Just what's your reaction to that? Am I being crazy here, or is it something that kind of feels like it may be a possibility?
No, I mean, I completely agree. I don't think it makes sense to levy a punishment until you've proven that a punishment is worthy. In general, in life.
Yeah.
I mean, there are situations maybe in you know, politics or you know, law enforcement or things like that, where you need to, in order to keep everybody safe, you need to, you know,
remove people from a situation, right?
Or whatever, yeah. Yeah. Until things get sorted out. I get that, but I'm not sure that that is relevant to this.
Yeah. So it's an interesting angle. Like I said, somebody brought that up to me and I was like, I hadn't thought of that. And when you get the amount of money that's involved, like it is with the NFL and you know, the people that are out there doing things and coming up with, you know, all kinds of crazy ways of scamming their way to money, that seems like it could be one of them. Okay. Sorry, I didn't mean to take you off on a little jaunt there, but that was interesting to me, a little interesting thought exercise. Okay, moving on to Matthew Stafford. God, he's gorgeous. 186 billion passes in a row, I believe it was, before he finally got an interception.
181.
Oh, 181 billion, sorry. Passes in a row. A couple billion off. And he gets those snap two interceptions. Ooh, that hurt. They did hurt, right? And he took credit for being the person at fault on the first one. And that was it. But the second one, he said, you know, the way things were, I would try it again. I was really just fighting for it. I'm willing to say that, you know, unlike Daryl Bevel in game one, I trust Matthew Stafford. Where are you at, man?
And you know, when I brought up the that I wanted to talk about Stafford's interceptions before the game, I think maybe you got apprehensive that I was gonna, you know, be all doom and gloom about it or anything like that. But
you don't scare me.
No, and I will say, I mean, I can definitely say that I think they were probably not the best of decisions, but not all interceptions are created equal. It's not like he misread coverage. It's not like he threw something that potentially could have been a pick six. He more or less punted,
yep,
hoping for big plays. And that, so like, not all interceptions are created equal. It doesn't show up any different on his passer rating or on stat sheets.
Oh, we'll talk about that in a little bit here about passer rating. And right. It doesn't show up too poor.
It shows up the same either way, but they're not. It truly, like, I'm not going to fault him for trying to make big plays happen, especially because that means even when it ends poorly with an interception, and one of those was like a miraculous interception. So there's that too. But even when it ends like that, it's still a situation where, okay, the defense knows that you might throw it deep. That changes, you know, that allows you to maybe do some more things underneath. So if you don't throw anything deep and don't take those risks occasionally, it also limits you.
Well, and I'll tell you, the one thing we wouldn't have seen under Junior Bacon Cheeseburger as the offensive coordinator was him taking those shots unless we were down by 10 points.
Right.
That, as you were saying, it is absolutely crucial that you take those shots and keep those safeties and those corners honest when you run those streak routes.
And I would go as far as to say that when you have a deep interception, it's as much on the wide receiver as it is the quarterback, because the wide receiver wasn't able to get in the right spot. They had plenty of time while the ball was in the air. They weren't able to defend, you know, the defender from getting the interception.
And it's particularly egregious when your wide receiver doesn't have the excuse of, well, I had all this separation, I couldn't get back to do it.
Right. And we come full circle.
There we go.
It's like a bukkake.
Oh,
I don't think I'm supposed to say that on our show.
That stung a little bit. I did not expect that. So, no, I think you're right. I think they were they want to be an effective punts, actually, even. And so I don't feel so bad about the interceptions he threw. He's still balling out there. And this is the part that I think we're seeing from Matthew Stafford that we haven't seen under JBC that we wanted to, is his ability to get a little bit of jazz out there and break out of the script and really do some of the things that make Matthew Stafford who Matthew Stafford is, and Matthew Stafford, the guy who we drafted, and Matthew Stafford, the quarterback we absolutely love. It's that's what we're seeing out of him, and that's what I want to see out of him. So, again, I love this. Let's take that right into it. Let's talk about that.
Stafford looked sharp.
Let's go right into the offensive scheme. We want to talk about how that looks, and I think this is a great lead in, a better segue than I thought it was going to be. I thought we were going to go from shitting on interceptions to let's talk about how great this offensive scheme is versus Junior Bacon Cheeseburger's version. Thank you, by the way, Ash, for that, because you nailed it. That JVC, I love that.
I love that.
This scheme under Bevel versus Cooter, we didn't know what to say. You know, we talked about this year. Everyone, it was great. All you heard from people is run first, right? Everybody who's down in Allen Park and covering the team, run first. It'll be a run first offense. Doesn't feel like a run first offense to me. Does not feel like that at all. It feels like a balanced offense, but an offense that knows how to execute and find the holes and beat them. And I am seeing a little bit, and I don't want to go crazy because Russell's a little bit different, but the scrambling we've seen out of Matthew this year, right?
Oh yeah,
it's not, he's not Russell Wilson. I get that, but he's fucking looking good out there. I'm telling you straight up. Those legs of Matthew Stafford are some sexy ass legs because that boy can move when he needs to.
Yeah.
Woo.
Okay. So what I want, basically my thought is, so we really entered a new era where we don't really know what to expect. We don't really know. And what we've seen, in my opinion, is two very distinct games. They were not the same. For example, if you look at who got the who was the beneficiary in those games, you go Hawk the first game for over 100 yards. That sets a rookie tight end record. This week, you throw one pass to him. You hit Jesse James and Logan Thomas. And that was, to be perfectly honest, that was more kind of what I had expected out of the beginning of the year. On a week-to-week basis, what you're going to see, I think, is that they tailor the game plan more specifically to the team they're facing as opposed to saying, this is our game plan, come beat it.
What?
Which
what?
He's figured out how to do.
That seems insane to try to tailor your play to the weaknesses of your opponent. No. It seems more manly to say, I'm going to put my strength against your strength and we'll see who comes on top.
Right, right. And things Indeed. Like getting Ty Johnson involved, which is a lot of fun. Oh. I enjoyed that. Kenny had a big day and he didn't really have a big day week one. Marvin Jones is the one acting almost as a security blanket right now, which is fine with me. He did almost have one huge reception down that Stafford just put out of his reach, but I mean that was a pretty minor infraction.
I just come across Marvin Jones has a broken sternum from one of those passes he took. Holy yep. Ash did a great job on the post game show. He said he articulated perfectly what it looked like. It was like with a cartoon shot where someone gets hit with the ball and go fly away, right? He threw that ball. I thought he was going to kill Marvin Jones. And then that fourth down play where it's like, oh, we're going to go for it, huh? And then they pass the ball. Are you kidding me? Are you fucking kidding me? Yep. And then, oh, the ball, you want it passed? Okay, I'm going to send it at so fucking many miles an hour. That ball fucking exploded when he hit his hands just out of the sheer force. Yeah. That ball is forever retired in the National Football Hall of Fame. That thing, wow, never has a ball traveled that fast. Wow, that guy. And you heard it when we were at training camp, right? There's a different sound to the ball when Matthew Stafford throws the ball. And it's freaking crazy, man, isn't it?
Yep. No, that was a rocket. And it had to be because there were three guys like right in the vicinity. If that hadn't been as fast and as it was, one of those guys would have been able to break it up, possibly intercept it. So, I mean, it's the kind of throw that makes you say, oh, okay, not many quarterbacks could do what just happened right there.
Yep. Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. Love what I'm seeing out of Stafford.
I'm excited about what we've seen so far in the offensive scheme, even though everything clearly isn't perfect. They're still working on a lot of kinks. As I mentioned earlier, I'm concerned about the run blocking, but we'll get there.
Have you got your kinks worked out? I'm still working on mine, even my...
Yeah, no, I figured out my kinks a long time ago.
All right, so talking about kinks, right? You're rolling around. You got your thing. You're looking to get it on. Head on over to Amazon. They
have, like, Amazon, like, Lions bondage straps.
100%. 100%. That might be at Fanatics. You might want to check there first. Yeah. But Amazon's going to have something. Amazon.DetroitLionsPodcast.com. Amazon.DetroitLionsPodcast.com. Go ahead and hit that up. Get yourself your Lions sex toys. Maybe get yourself a cane with a lion's head on top, like the masterful Coach Patricia. Does he look funny rolling around on the sideline with the boot and the crutch? I can't not laugh at him, and I feel terrible. Right? I mean,
when he showed up at the meeting on one of those little push scooter things, it was hard to take seriously. But
better that than a rascal, right?
Right.
All right. So, yeah, Amazon.DetroitLionsPodcast.com. Check it out, Amazon.DetroitLionsPodcast.com. And then one little piece there, so we want to hit on, if you're getting tickets to anything, concerts, concerts, you go to the ballet to see Case in his tights, or any of the sports events you want to go to, head to TIX, T-I-X, that DetroitLionsPodcast.com, T-I-X, that DetroitLionsPodcast.com. It'll head you over to SeatGeek. You can pick your seat so no one has to pick your seat for you, and you find the greatest place to sit and see your favorite shows. Okay, so let me ask you something about Sam Martin. I look at that guy, and I see him. I've talked to him a couple times just as a fan, whatever, on the sidelines or in the, from the stands or whatever. He's interacted with people. He just seems like he would be a fun freaking dude to hang out with, man. Yeah. I just can see us laughing our asses off having a ride.
I still remember him and Joseph Fourie, his romance that, you know, early on. But
yeah, that was a good time. So, all right, we'll move on from there. This is a great subject. This is one that people I love. So look, okay, so some people may be mad at this, some people might not. The whole meme thing in the subreddit, right? Sometimes it's just kind of annoying or whatever, right? But and most of the times it's not. But there's just times when sometimes it's like, God dang it, I'm looking for some info. This is the place I come because I know I can find something right away on something. And then I'm inundated with the 57 millionth comeback meme, right? And it's like, it just, at times it can grind on you, right? But Hockamania was freaking hilarious. It was those memes. I'm just gonna say it wipes out any frustration I had before, because the Hockenson memes were over the freaking top. It was great. You are some of the most creative and funniest motherfuckers I have ever seen in my life, man. Those were the best.
What was your favorite?
Detroit Hawk City, the one, the Gene Simmons one. It was just so good. It was so good. I tweeted that one, and there was other ones too, but that one it was awesome. There's a lot of really, really good ones. And then we're talking in the Slack, and people went crazy. And so it's come with a question now, Case, for you. What you gonna do when the Hockamania comes for you, brother? Got the Hockamania shirt. Head over to the store at DetroitLionsPodcast.com. It's a pretty cool shirt. It's not one that we tried to create to just see. Everybody was screaming, please, in the course of the memes, make the shirt. Let us jump on the Hockamania train. So if you want to, like I said, sort out DetroitLionsPodcast.com. There's a pretty cool shirt. It's styled after the Hulkamania thing. It looks like it's the Honolulu blue, and there's a bunch of colors available. It's pretty sweet. I got two of them coming, two different colors, just because it's so fun. But that was great, right? Let's talk about these tight ends. Let's talk about these boys, because holy shite. Hockenson, week one, fired up. People were angry for a couple days, and then Hockamania took over, and we went crazy. And then we settled down a little after this win, because Hockenson didn't just turn out like he's as big as he was. I think he was doing a little more blocking and looking good as a blocker out there, which is a key piece to talk about, and I'm sure you will. And even Jesse James looked a little bit more towards the form that we expected of him when we signed him. Not a superstar, right? But he was no Gronk out there or anything like that. But he definitely moved the chains. He was a good safety valve. He blocked when he needed to. He looked good. What do you think, Case? Where are we? I think this tight end piece has really done a good number on helping our wide receivers both open up and create multiple threat offense, multiplicity, baby. Everyone calls it a multiple team. I call it multiplicity. It is multiplicity. It's kind of like
safety. And I mean, we're going to continue to have limitations on offense just because we don't have the kind of game-breaking downfield threat that other teams that some other teams have. And while I do believe that we have two decent, you know, outside receivers, we don't have the ability to pull the defense completely back to cover them. We don't need two guys who need double covered, you know, anything like that. So it's not like, but they've done a good job at scheming when and where to use the tight end so far. And I think that will continue. Like I said earlier, I think we'll see them adapt week to week based on what they're facing. And we'll talk about the Eagles in a little bit here. I'm even getting Logan Thomas in for a crucial third down catch was, you know, that's what I want to see. I want to see Stafford hitting every target he has, because that's the best way you keep defenses guessing. And that middle of the field, that intermediate area has been a problem, was a huge problem last year during the first three quarters of games when, you know, that's where we wanted to go and just couldn't go there. So, I mean, I'm very happy, and I would definitely say at this point that we have at least an above average tight end group, if not one of the best.
God, yeah. Are you feeling Hockamania? Do you have that tingle down below?
Hockamania. And it was so fun to watch, because like Jesse James would catch a pass and you'd see Hawk from across the field just like celebrating, like yes. put it like freaking out, like you know. So dude, that's cool. Good, you know. Yeah, it just seems like there's a good relationship there.
To see a guy that's as comfortable as he is in his own role and what he does, to celebrate a tight end, a guy who plays across the line from him, doing well, and mm-hmm. that's the ultimate teamwork, the unselfishness, right? That's what you want to see. Those are some of the characteristics you see of a winning team, a team that wins over the long haul. So love to see that. That again, this is the kind of, when you think about character, you talk about character players. Well, this guy has character issues. And I get that, and that's important. You don't want those kind of guys kind of clouding up and unfocusing what you're after. But you also want to look, when you see a character guy, that kind of thing right there. That's a guy who loves football in Hockenson. Same with Stafford. Stafford loves the game of football, right? But Hockenson loves the game, and he's out there, and he's cheering on a guy who he kind of competes with, right? Mm-hmm. And he celebrates his successes with him. That is the kind of character you want to cross the board on the team. That's great stuff. Great, great stuff. So love me some TJ, and Quinn can't draft, so there you go. All right, let's take a look at the NFC North quarterback rating rankings through 2 weeks. We didn't just do it straight up like that. We had to really take a look at this, so Eli Manning's included, thanks to, I think his name is Zach Snyder on Twitter. We took the whole ranking of the NFC North quarterbacks and then also added the Giants' backup quarterback, Eli Manning, to the list to see where's everybody ranked. So, number one, the best quarterback ranking after 2 weeks. You want to give me a little drum roll in your case? Matthew Stafford. I really thought that it would be the Giants' backup. No, Matthew Stafford comes out with the highest quarterback ranking ahead of Aaron Rodgers in second place.
Even with the two interceptions, he still had a 91.7 on the week or something close to that. That's on pure memory there. Yeah. So, I mean, you know, he still had a very efficient week. I mean, getting good yard per, you know, attempt kind of situation. So.
Yeah, killed it. Coming in after Rodgers in third place is Eli Manning, the Giants' backup, soon to be perennial backup. Kirk Cousins in fourth place, and Mitchie, the Biscuit Trubisky, coming in last. Oh, my God, it's been so worth not having first-round pick for 63 years now, isn't it?
Totally worth it. Does that mean we're about ready to take a trip?
No, not yet. I know you're packing, but we're not there yet, my friend. We're not there yet. Biscuit. There's going to be a point, and I saw it after the first game of the season. I just rolled over to the Lolbear subreddit, and I have to tell you. They were like, it might be time to admit everyone was right about Trubisky. It might be time. They were already ready to give up on the guy. After all the bullshit, they're like, holy crap, he looks so bad out there. And right now, if you think about it, they are absolutely celebrating a seat-of-their-pants win against Denver that I would be terrified if I had played that game after losing the game in week one. But they're in a happy place with that lowly Biscuit. So there you go. All right. While Case wants to pack, it's okay.
120 yards.
We need to take a look ahead, my friend. We have to look ahead to the future and think about what we're going to do against the Eagles. We're going to play them this week. And this was a game, again, looking back to the beginning of the season, you get the schedule, you look at it, you're like, whew, these first five games, this is going to be tough. This is going to be a meat grinder for us. And we're already undefeated two games in, and we're facing off a decimated Eagles team. I mean, are they bringing in, like, you know how they do the veteran celebration at the beginning of the season? Do they have, like, a guy from freaking Guadalcanal that's going to be their third wide receiver out there? Because he may be the best option wheeling down the freaking freeway or down the field for him.
Well, and I don't know. And you know, we don't know for sure which of these guys are going to be out. But here's the list of guys that went out during the game. Dallas Goedert, their second tight end. Alshon Jeffrey and Corey Clement, their running back, and defensive tackle Tim Jerrigan and DeSean Jackson. So Jerrigan will almost certainly be out. He was seen walking in a boot. The rest of them, I don't know. And it really... If they were missing both DeSean Jackson and Alshon Jeffrey, holy crap, that would be a tough game for them to win. You can get away with losing one of those guys and still have an offense. You still have Zach Ertz. You still have Sanders in the backfield. But if they're missing both of those guys, that just, it'll be really tough for them to move the ball. Fortuitous this last week that we won the game, and I think we get to pay large, you know, portion of that to the injuries that the Chargers were dealing with. But that could happen again this week very easily. And even though, you know, if everything else is equal, I would rather win a game against a good team than win a game against a team suffering major injuries. But I would rather win a game, you know, a win is a win, especially early in the season when we don't know what this team is going to look like late in the season. Things will evolve. Things will change. It's a long season. And we say that every year when we get to the end of the season. Look at last year. The team that started that year was completely different than the team that finished that year. So getting a few wins, if we're able to get them, I don't care how we get them. It doesn't really matter come November, December, how we got the wins back in September. So if they're missing both of those two guys, I would flip my pick'em to the Lions winning.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they ain't got shit.
Yeah, yeah. got some breaking news I'm gonna catch here real shortly. So we gotta finish the Eagles thing, and this is gonna blow your mind, Case. Don't go looking at news, okay? Because I want to surprise you with this. Will you let me do that? Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. So we're looking at a decimated Eagles team. You look at they were absolutely threatened with no pressure. The pressure that they received on Carson Wentz, thank you, was minimal, right? I mean, it looked like Phil Rivers in the pocket out there, and he was not delivering the ball very well. If you can imagine how they're going to play against our team, you're not going to see a lot out of that offense. I just feel like they gave him a lot of trouble. I think we can see the template that was used against them this week, and I think we can leverage that to our benefit. I just have a sense we're gonna beat this team. I really do think we're gonna go to Philadelphia and beat the team. And I'm gonna be a little fucking crazy here, but I think KC is eminently beatable at home too. If we were going to Kansas City, I'm looking way far ahead.
I thought that after Tyreek went out, and then they went out and balled out without him. So
they had a hard time to start last week though, and
they did.
They're coming to Detroit. That's the thing that I think is.
I mean, no game to me is an automatic loss or anything like that. But
right,
no, I would be very happy with 2-1-1. You know, yeah. Before our bye week, that would be pretty solid. So
yeah. Can you imagine 3-1-1 after the Packers? After the five, if we came through those five games 3-1-1, I mean, mm-hmm. Ooh, that's some serious ball walking, right? No, but I don't want to look at too far ahead to Kansas City. But I really feel like we match up and we line up well against this Eagles team. We've got the right players to be able to pull this out. I think we're going to go into Philly. We're going to do it, man. I really believe it. If we don't, fine. You guys could put it on me. I don't care. Go ahead and give me a hard time.
Yeah, I'm at about 50-50 on it right now. I very much could see it going either way, and I don't think it'll be a blowout either way. But yeah.
Okay, I'm gonna do a quick read because this guy is awesome, and I want you guys to take a look. Okay. He's a huge help to us. He sponsors us. He actually paid us for a sponsorship throughout the season, and we it came out of just chatting as like enjoying his stuff and talking back and forth. So I got to tell you, do not go to youtube.com/PeterVonPanda. Do not see Peter Von Panda's YouTube page. His videos. You probably can't handle the side splitting fun. You can't handle the crazy reviews. I'm telling you, if you like any kind of non sequitur kind of comedy, this guy is going to blow the doors off. He's freaking hilarious. I love him. And again, we talk about this. We don't take sponsors on something that we don't really believe in. Peter's a fun guy. He's been in the Slack. He's crazy. He's funny. He doesn't come up with a line that isn't funny, usually. If you watch him, he's just sniping in the live chat in the post-game show. He's absolutely great. Check it out, youtube.com/PeterVonPanda. We're going to get him on the show a couple times. We're going to do some fun stuff with him. We're going to do some YouTube stuff with him as well. The guy's brand of comedy is like, it's just, I know I'm a little twisted, but it's right up my alley. And to have him as a supporter is really awesome. YouTube.com/PeterVonPanda. Get there. All right. Here's the news. Did you look? Did you peek?
Nope.
You promise?
Yeah. Tell me.
CJ Anderson is gone.
That is interesting.
The Lions were awarded Paul Perkins from the Giants via waivers today. CJ was told that he's being passed by our guy Ty. And when he reacted, they realized it's probably time for this guy to go.
Mm, yep. No, before we picked up CJ Anderson, you know, he chirped all offseason about really wanting to play somewhere where he was going to get an opportunity to be the bell cow. And I knew we knew that wasn't going to be the case here because right. We knew Kerryon was going to be starter. I don't know that he was ever going to be fully content here. And then, you know, I also, like I said, I have concerns about our offensive line's run blocking, but the worst, you know, type of player for that is a CJ Anderson. Who, you know, if you get an open hole for him, he can bruise you. But if you're not making a lot of open holes, he's not making people miss. So in this last game, as you saw, you know, he really was able to do anything. This is a long-term issue for the Lions offensive linemen. The best way to come at that is to have players like Kerryon Johnson who can make a lot of moves. Ty Johnson, who's got that speed that's just ridiculous, so you can send him outside. And I'll be interested to see what Paul Perkins can bring. So
I like, and he was doing Twitter pretty well before Saquon got there. I mean, this is maybe a little kind of diamond in the rough. I'll say straight up, I really liked CJ. I liked him. I liked his attitude.
I don't
know,
dislike CJ at all.
Pardon?
I don't dislike CJ at all. I don't want to be taken that way.
We were laughing our ass off at training camp because he had his shirt, like his jersey, tucked up to here, and they had the big wide. Gray like t-shirt underneath it, and he's all bulked up with all the, he wears like 47 layers, and I mean he's not a tall guy, right? He looked like the fat kid from Pop Warner just with all the clothes he had on. It was so funny to see him out there. But with that, the guy cared. He cares a lot, and the other part of it is the charitable stuff he does is super, super cool. He is out there for real, trying to do his best to help out a lot of people that need it. So there's nothing to dislike about this guy, really. I wish he would have worked out. I wish he'd have fit. I wish him the best wherever he goes, as long as it isn't against, you know, at one of our opponents. So it stinks. It stinks that it worked out this way in the end, but we'll see. You know, Paul Perkins is going to be interesting. The one thing that I think we can probably agree upon is that running back room got cheaper.
Yeah.
And I know you're asking the question. I want you to come up with the answer. Why didn't we bring in?
I love Zach Center.
Why didn't he come back?
I still won't be surprised to be back. They're testing their options. So.
All right. Well, and that's the way that is with that. I think it's time to move on. If you're ready. You ready? I think you're ready. Casey's going to take us around. All right. Hold up. I am the headline. Okay, go ahead.
Sorry. There we go.
I had to get my eye prevail fixed. Once it starts, I can't like opt out and let you start talking until we get our boys in iPrevailBand.com. Okay, what do you got, buddy?
I'll probably keep it pretty short this week because I'm not sure there's that much like super interesting news. Just for the sake of ease here, we'll get into, you know, the division standing related stuff later. But the Bears, I'll start with, just because they didn't play a game that meant that much. They played the Broncos. They beat the Broncos. They actually had a few kicks go in. So they have to be happy about that. Their defense still pretty solid. Their offense, Mitch Trubisky, 120 yards. I mean, that's what you need to know. If you're going to beat the Bears, it's just by, you know, not letting them score. And the Broncos weren't up to that task. I think that the Bears lean on their running game, and I think that's, you know, very much by the time we face the Bears, that will be our biggest strength as the conditioning stuff improves and whatever, what have you.
I'm just telling you straight up, not having a first-round pick since 1937 will mess a team up.
Yeah. So it's going to be about whether or not our offense can do anything against their defense. And while their defense is scary, they haven't been quite on the same level they were last year. So they are, you know, you can move the ball against them a little bit. Both the Broncos and Packers, you know, scored touchdowns against them. So, I mean, it is possible. The Vikings-Packers game was interesting in a lot of ways. Kirk Cousins looked horrible, just terrible. And yet, Vikings offense still almost won the game for him in the end. It came down to some weird calls. Stephon Diggs' touchdown getting nullified. The Packers, you know, they leapt out to the 21-0 lead right away. I think that was probably a fluke, I think, because obviously you saw the Vikings defense didn't allow another point the rest of the game for the Packers. So all 21 points, I think, came in the first quarter, or maybe first quarter and early second. I don't remember for sure.
I'm sorry, I hate to jump in on you, but yeah, go ahead. This is an adjustment thing on the Minnesota defense, but. Mm-hmm. They in week one, they looked so freaking dominant. Like, they were unbeatable, 100% unbeatable. And then to leap out to a 21-point lead. Right now, they're, again, the Lions love this stuff and they work on this stuff. There's some film on them right now. What are we finding? Is this a defense that looks like it can adjust right now, but it has its gaps that can be exploited? Is that what we're dealing with here? Is week one fool's gold with the Minnesota defense?
I mean, yes. I mean, there are issues there, but I mean, they still have, you still saw great plays being made by Harrison Smith. You still saw their defensive line doing a good job. Sure. A few good plays by linebackers. So it's not like, I mean, it's really tough for me. I think in my power rankings this week for the RNFL power rankings, I do think I put the Packers ahead of the Vikings, but like I could switch them interchangeably. The Vikings, the tough thing with the Vikings is still how good is their offensive line going to be? And because it still wasn't good this week, and you saw the Packers, Kirk Cousins, yeah. But I mean, Kirk Cousins can be a good quarterback if he has time to throw, but if he doesn't have any time to throw, and he hasn't had any time to throw because the offensive line still isn't very good.
Right.
The Packers offseason acquisitions of the Smiths seems to be working out pretty well for him, and they both showed up in this game, Zadarius and Preston. So like it has become a defensive division all of a sudden, mm-hmm. where the offenses are all struggling a little bit and the defenses are all locked down.
It's funny how this, and not just the division, how the league changes. My son and I were talking about, how different positions. Do you remember like 15 years ago, maybe it's 20 years ago now, I don't know, where running backs were like the most important player on the team and really dictated. Yeah. And then and then we talk about, oh, now it's getting to a passing league, you know, oh yeah. And then there's the wide receiver, you know, kind of rush there. God, it really feels like now a team's whole makeup is his offensive line, his defensive line, and his quarterback. Mm-hmm. You can interchange, you can get wide receivers and change them in and out or whatever. But it's a line on both sides and the quarterback that's gonna make the team. It's funny to watch the evolutions of the game and what's working and what's not and how they change. It's crazy.
No, absolutely.
All right.
So again, we faced the Packers in week five or six, excuse me, after our bye. And we'll see if anything changes before then, because if either team has significant injuries, that could ultimately impact it majorly. I don't know that we can beat the Packers right now, but that could change in a few weeks.
Interesting. Really? I disagree with that. I disagree with that. I think that we can outplay the Packers. They've looked good and they've schemed well against the two teams that they've played, but I just feel like
if they lost even one, if Devontae Adams missed a week, they lose that game. Yeah. But
I look at this more like a coach's game. That right now, the Packers against the Lions game, and I just think that our coaching staff will outcoach the Packers. Now, of course, you've got the X factor of Aaron Rodgers, right? And then he can do things. But again, Aaron Rodgers has only been to, is it, or won one Super Bowl. He can't carry the whole damn team, right? He's what makes them competitive for sure. Mm-hmm. But it's going to be a coaching matchup right now, as of today, as they go. So yeah, that'll be interesting. I'm not feeling good. Just if you look at quarterback rating alone, Matthew Stafford carries the day. Okay. Is that it? That took us around the division? Wow, that was quick. Hey, you know, one of the things we talk about is how you guys can help us out. If anybody has a great place to get a discount on a laptop, you need to hook Case up.
I've been putting in overtime.
You broke up just as you said that. There you go, folks. That's it. We're looking to get Case a new laptop to help with the sound on his piece. He's got a machine that's being held together by, what did you say, baling wire, duct tape, and ordinary household bleach. We'll get that thing running, and we'll get you guys up and running with that. But with that, we're going to end the show. Remember, the show needs your involvement. Use the comments in the subreddit to give us your feedback. We love it when you do. Also, don't forget about us on Patreon. Patreon.com/Detroit Lions Podcast. Patreon.com/Detroit Lions Podcast. And check us out on Facebook. Facebook.com/TheDetroitLionsPodcast. You got to see the YouTube. This part where Case puts on the pink sunglasses is worth the view. Follow us on Twitter at DET Lions Podcast. DET Lions Podcast. It's the very best place to see Case.
Chilling out, Max, and relax, now cool.
Give us a call via Skype at Detroit Lions Podcast. All over Detroit Lions Podcast, or call us on the Lions line. 929-33-LIONS. It's 929-335-4667. And be sure to go to DetroitLionsPodcast.com. Subscribe to the podcast. And we'll show up at your door in G-strings. Thank you for tuning in. We're going to see you next time on the Detroit Lions podcast. Remember, no pants, no toasters, no hot tubs. No problems, baby. Because we're your Detroit Lions and Reddit connection.
Final seconds winding down. And look at that. How big is that? Chris and Case out of time. Pack the bags. Start the plane. This show is over.
Hey, Dean Blandino here, and I can tell you unequivocally that call was 100% wrong.
But if you fire fucking Dean Blandino, I'll come on the show with you.